Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I am your mighty host, and I wanted to say that for a reason, Nate. My name's Joe Kuzma. Joining me today, once again, man, we're doing this a lot, man. This might be a good luck charm. Nate, Nathaniel Bodner, I always, Nate for short. I think you hate the word, the name Nate, don't you?
No, Nate's okay. Nate's okay. Nathan is not okay. If you call me Nate, then I might have to come to your house.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you know what? And I don't like Joey either. My full given name is Joseph. I live with Joe, but Joey is like the thing that happened when I went anywhere for the holidays. Relatives would pinch your cheeks and, oh my, how big you're getting and everything like that. And, yeah, did not care for Joey, so.
Well, I can picture that, actually. I can see that happening to you.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, eventually they had to look up to me. For most people, in fact, the first time Nate met me, he said, man, you're a giant. I'm 6'5". I'm about the – I'm almost the size of Ladarius Green, who we've just seen has not practiced for a second day in a row. And you have some – well – I'll kick this over to you as far as the injury report. I saw some people.
Yeah, let's start off with that.
Sky was falling with the injury report from Wednesday, Thursday's injury report, about where we expected it, because we all knew that Ben and D'Angelo Williams and some of those guys were just getting a day off. Some others practiced in full.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger always gets the day off on Wednesday. Well, not always, but most of the time he does. And the injury report looks really good, but there's that one thing that's not looking good, and that's Ladarius Green. He did not participate along with Anthony Ciccolo and Ricardo Matthews. Limited participation, you have Bud Dupree and Fitzgerald Toussaint. Toussaint has that concussion, and Dupree has a shin problem. Full participation, you have Sean Davis shoulder, Robert Golden, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, do not need to worry about Ben Roethlisberger. Guy's tougher than nails. Stephon Tuitt and Vince Williams. So the injury report's looking good on the side of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm loving it.
You know, we said last week that Vince Williams himself tweeted out he has two shoulders, so I'm not too worried about him either. And Terry Fletcher got ahead of the game on Monday, as I've always saying about Terry. She knows she's like our SCU team mom slash nurse slash doc. So she knows all these ailments, and she said that the walking boot was just precautionary because of the change from the Arctic temperatures, second coldest game ever, Heinz Field history, second coldest playoff game, I should say. There may have been colder games, but maybe it was in Heinz Field. I don't know. I haven't been anything that cold for a while. Speaking of, I just got over a cold myself, which I even had back on Sunday. Lips still somewhat chapped from that game, despite having chapstick with me. So I guess it's not going to be much cozier in Kansas City, seeing everything from freezing rain to snow, 60% chance. It's going to be loud. It's going to be cold. They play on grass there. It's a very similar environment for the Steelers. Heading into this game with a Kansas City Chiefs team who has also won 12 games, but they did so in the regular season. They're sitting on a bye. We know Andy Reid, pretty good after a bye week. He seems to win quite a bit. I don't know. What do you think about this Chiefs game? I have a gut feeling. I have a good gut feeling about this entire situation.
I do too, Joe. I think that Ben Roethlisberger is going to do everything that he does in every single game. People look at his road games that he's done this year and how he struggled. Well, he's pretty good against the road in the playoffs. And also, he has an outstanding record against the Chiefs. He has a 5-1 record against this team. So hopefully that goes to 6-1 and he, you know, does really well. But I think that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be completely fine. People are talking about his mobility. Is he going to be mobile with that ankle injury that he sustained against the Miami Dolphins? I think that he's going to be mobile. I think that they're going to lean on the running game like they did against Miami. Le'Veon Bell had the postseason record for the rushing yards, and I believe two touchdowns that he capped that off with. Great player. If they lead with Le'Veon Bell and just run down the Chiefs' throats, I think that they have a really good shot at winning this football game.
You know, I do too, and everyone who's talking about Big Ben and mobility, I really rolled my eyes on that. You know, it's just, I don't know. I even went out there and on a limb, and Ben's had some pretty ridiculously not-so-good games this year, and one of those was in Buffalo. It was snowing, and I see something that's very similar in the way that this could turn out. Even if Ben doesn't have a very strong game, as you said, they could lean on Le'Veon Bell. In fact, Brian Roach over here at Steel City Underground is predicting that Le'Veon Bell breaks his postseason record that he set a Steelers franchise record last week for rushing yards. He predicts he's going to break that this week.
Again? Oh, my.
Well, it's, yeah, you know, it's certainly,
I like that.
It's certainly plausible. Like we said, Andy Reid has a 16-2 career coaching mark with the extra week. And even if Ben isn't at his sharpest, now I understand the Chiefs didn't have Justin Houston that first time around, but they also don't have Derek Johnson, who's out for the season with his Achilles injury. Steelers put up 22 in the first quarter the last time these two teams got together. I feel that Steelers defense was not as strong then. And of course, this Chiefs defense is supposed to be they're number one in the league in takeaways, but they're 26th against the run. So that's where I'm basing my thought process from here. Man, this could be the Le'Veon Bell show again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Le'Veon Bell show. And one thing the thing that scares me the most about this game, just real quick, is the special teams. And we can talk about that in a little bit, but Tyreek Hill in particular, the guy is a beast. He is just unbelievable. But if you want to talk about a person that is really good in the postseason, it's Alex Smith. Now, I did some research on this, and this is according to Gil Brandt on Twitter. Now, in five postseason games, Alex Smith has tossed 11 touchdowns to just one interception. That's unbelievable. He owns a 99.1 quarterback rating in those games, throwing for 240-plus yards in three of them. Okay, now we're talking about Alex Smith in the postseason. In the regular season, he had 15 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, threw for 3,500 yards, and had a 91.2 passer rating. Now, Alex Smith doesn't throw that many touchdowns. He throws a little bit of interceptions. He is a quarterback that tends to go down the football field by throwing the dink and dunk passes. That's the whole offense. And this year, they decided to run the football with they have
Spencer
Ware.
Yeah,
Spencer Ware running the football. Now, his statistics do not stand out that much. He has rushed for 214 times. That's how many carries, 921 yards and three touchdowns. So that's not – it's not great. But they have continuity with the running backs, and they also use Tyreek Hill in the running game. And against Denver, they were absolutely – just destroying them with Tyreek Hill running the football, with the whole punt returns and kick returns. The guy can line up as a receiver. I mean, it's unbelievable what he can do. So my main X factor in this game is going to be Tyreek Hill, how they get him implemented and how the Pittsburgh Steelers defense and special teams stops him.
Yeah, and you know what else? Spencer Ware, and one reason he doesn't jump so much off the page, too, the last time the Steelers met when they played at Heinz Field, week four, there was still talk of getting Jamaal Charles back on the field. He started the season on the PUP list. He ended up on IR. I don't even know that he carried the ball a dozen times this season. Spencer Ware had his own issues. I believe he was in concussion protocol heading into like the last quarter of the season. So they still have another handy back in the name of Charchandrick West, who chopped us up pretty good at Arrowhead last year. But you know what? The Chiefs, they're not an impossible team to beat. They kind of try and dictate the pace of these games. And if you heard Ben talk the other day about it, which I'm sure you did, Nate, Ben was saying how they're going to try and neutralize the crowd by playing their no huddle. They're going to try and go with the hurry-up offense, and they're going to try and keep the Chiefs' defense on their heels. And the Chiefs' defense, I mean, this is the way Kansas City works. Was it 15 touchdowns to 8 interceptions is Alex
yes.
Smith, even though he threw for
yep.
like 3,500 yards.
Yeah.
They just, it's a very odd team to put your finger on, because they lost at home to the Tennessee Titans 19-7. They beat the Oakland Raiders at home 21-13, but they're largely just low-scoring games. They won an overtime game in Denver by a field goal. They lost at home to Tampa Bay by 2 points. They won on the road by a field goal again against the Panthers. You know, a lot of these games are a lot closer than they should be throughout the season, with the exception of the one game. In fact, they even beat the Atlanta Falcons by just a point. And you're just looking at this up and down. In fact, the Chargers, even playing in San Diego in week 17, they end up winning that game, but that game was a lot closer than it appeared for a good portion of it. I remember being very frustrated because I think I had like Phillip Rivers and somebody else, of course, going back to fantasy football. So I remember I was watching some of that game. I don't know. It's just something. There's something that doesn't sit well with me when it comes to the Chiefs. And everybody's so worried. I think they're worried because they want to say it's been the story's in reverse now. The Steelers were favored last week. They're not favored this week. They go on the road. The Jekyll and Hyde thing. Of course, they got beat pretty badly by the Dolphins. They got the revenge on that. So is this going to be a turnaround here? Are we going to go in too overconfident? I don't know. Kansas City's defense passing, they're 18th. The Steelers, believe it or not, are 16th. And that's despite that giveaway takeaway. You've got like Marcus Peters and Eric Berry. And they've all combined on this team for 13 interceptions. They've taken three of those back to the house with touchdowns. We talk about Tyreek Hill being a speed demon in special teams. I like our specialists in this game. Their specialists are pretty good too, like Cairo Santos as far as being a kicker. Boswell is pretty solid. He's got ice in his veins. Jordan Berry can kick the ball pretty deep. I think you keep the ball away from Tyreek Hill. I think you got to get rid of the dumb mental mistakes of bringing the ball out of the end zone and just take the touchback. And it's just tackling. And I feel.
But the question is, can Chris Boswell get the touchback? Sometimes he just doesn't get it. Or I'm actually, well, you were talking about, yeah, my bad. But Chris Boswell needs to get the touchbacks going so Tyreek Hill or anybody on the Chiefs don't take it back. But I see what you're saying with the Chiefs. I got you. I messed that up, but whatever.
No, I get what you're saying. And you know what? It doesn't even matter, because Boswell put one 6 yards into the end zone last week against the Dolphins, and it was a Kenyon Drake or Damian Williams. It was one of the running backs.
Yeah, it was Drake. He returned about 32 yards or so.
He got up to about – he went further than that. He almost got up to, like, midfield. Yeah, it was a solid return, but there was a block in the back that was missed, and you just got to play through that. So, I don't know. I'm not panicking as much about this. Jordan Berry still booted both of his punts for, like, 40 yards or so. It's just the coverage things. And Darius Hayward Bay, you know, he made a comment about Tyreek Hill as well. He says, you know, I'm fast too, is what he said.
Yes, he's extremely fast. I mean, I would have to say that Tyreek Hill's faster because he's younger, and he really is probably the fastest player. I mean, he's the fastest player in Madden now, if you want to say that, but he is extremely fast. But Darius Hayward Bay is absolutely, up there. So he can probably catch him if he's slowed down a little bit. I don't know, but hopefully we don't have to see that, because that means that Tyreek Hill's off to the races. And if he's off to the races, then I'm screaming and I'm upset, and we don't want that. I want to be happy, excited. I want to get this game going here and just enjoy it, you know. Just hopefully the Pittsburgh Steelers come to play, because that's something that they need to do. And we were talking about Tyreek Hill and the special teams and all that. I mean, there's a player on the offense, and his name is Travis Kelce. The guy's just like Gronkowski. I mean, he had 85 receptions for 1,125 yards and 4 touchdowns. The guy can make plays. And Mike Mitchell said it today or yesterday. He said to the media that he is one of the best receiving tight ends, and that is next to Jordan Reed of the Washington Redskins. So I don't know. Maybe watch this guy too, because he took a screen 80 yards to the house against Denver, I believe it was. This guy has all the attributes to be a devastating player and a true game changer. So I would definitely have to watch out for him on the offensive side of the football. So, and that's the safety blanket for Alex Smith.
Yeah, and as we know, in week four, the Steelers put Justin Gilbert almost exclusively on Travis Kelce. I think he had like 5 catches, 22 yards, 25 yards, something like really just pedestrian. And the Steelers, they got killed by Gronk on one touchdown with no safety help. And that was in a game that didn't feature Ben Roethlisberger. That was long before you had these young guns playing, such as Artie Burns and Sean Davis, who are now fixtures of this defense. It's the same thing that I was hammering home last week, talking about the Dolphins facing a different looking Steelers defense. They're going to be facing the same Steelers offense because this was Le'Veon Bell's coming out party. This was the first game he got to play following suspension, and he put up ungodly numbers. I got to pull it up. I think he was around 175 all-purpose yards, and you know what? I think they're going to have just as much troubles with or without Justin Houston being in there, just flipping out one of the linebackers. I think they're going to have just as many problems. You're going to see a similar game plan, I think, to the Dolphins game, because you're going to have to take one of these safeties down to try and concentrate on Le'Veon Bell. And when you do that, that's going to open up things for Antonio Brown and company as far as catching passes. And, geez, if you leave that one safety high, we saw how that worked against the Dolphins. It wasn't exactly a good game plan. And then they still handed off the ball 10 times against the highest paid defensive line in professional football, and 10 straight times. They knew what was coming. They couldn't stop it.
No, they got a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell got a touchdown. They literally ran the ball, you said, 10 straight times, and it couldn't stop Le'Veon Bell. And I think that's just unbelievable, if you ask me.
Yeah, and just talking a little more defensively on how the Steelers have improved. Their Steelers defense ranks 10th in points allowed. They're 4th in red zone defense, and that's considering that they allowed 27 points or more 4 times in the first half of the season, but their last 8 games and last week included factored into that. So during this 8-game winning streak, they have allowed opponents only 20 points or fewer 5 of those 8 times. The Chiefs, on the other hand, are like third worst in the NFL in a red zone scoring percentage. So this is going to be a very similar game. I can't wait to see what ends up happening. My gut feeling is it might be a little bit closer in this Miami game. I don't expect sparks early, but the Steelers have shown us so many different things. Now, we may not have Ladarius Green, but as we talked before, they didn't have him last week either. They're capable of running the football.
Jesse James did great. Did you see the block? I mean, that block that he had. AB, 50 yards for just a screen play. And AB patiently waits for Jesse James and Kobe Hamilton to make their blocks, and he's down the sideline. Jesse James doesn't have to be a sexy guy that goes out there and catches 50 – or not 50. You can't. If you can do that, then, oh, my, you're the best ever. But, like, he doesn't have to catch, like, 10 catches for over 150 yards or whatever Ladarius Green did against the Giants. He doesn't have to shred that defense. He just has to block, do his plays, and the other players will get open and make plays like Antonio Brown.
So they've got so many options on offense. This is a team, too, that they know how to play with a lead. They know how to come back from behind. A lot has been said about, you know, some of the teams that they've played. They're 4-3 against postseason teams. That one was down to the wire with the Dallas Cowboys. That's one of those 3 losses. Another one was already avenged against the Miami Dolphins. And then, of course, the third, like I had mentioned earlier, without Ben, against the New England Patriots. And then the Chiefs are 4-2 against playoff teams this year. And I think, just going back to Alex Smith for a second, Alex Smith has 5 rushing touchdowns on the ground. He's somewhat mobile, but the Steelers are able to drop him 4 times. He's only gone down 28 times for the season, but the Kansas City Chiefs line gave up a total of 32 sacks because the other 4 go to Nick Foles in that one relief appearance that he ended up playing in the middle, I think like week 10, week 11, when Alex Smith was ruled out for that game. So I don't think it's a question of whether or not the Steelers can get after the quarterback. We know they could turn over the ball. We know they're capable on offense. I think this is going to be a competitive game. I don't know that it would be nearly as competitive maybe if the Chiefs didn't have a bye. That's pretty much the only thing that's really got me shaking before we play the Houston Texans in the AFC Championship at Heinz Field a week from, well, I guess this Sunday, right?
Yeah.
I'm jumping to it, man. I'm telling you. I think Bill O'Brien knows the Patriots'
Whoa.
Way.
Bill O'Brien, you think Bill is going to do it?
And Brock. Oh, no. Bill and Brock.
Brock? Let me tell you about Brock real quick. That guy, is he the postseason Eli Manning? I mean, he just put on a show. I mean, I know it was against the Raiders, and they really didn't have that much confidence because Derek Carr's down and all that. But, I mean, Brock Osweiler put some nice passes together, and he just – the Raiders fair and square. And I thought that we might see a better version of Brock Osweiler in the postseason here. And, gosh, if they beat the Patriots, that – I said that that's the biggest upset of the millennium. It's like the – ever. For like ever, that would be amazing.
It's my wish list. I don't know. I don't know that it will happen. But this team, I think this team's hot. I think they've faced adversity. I think I don't always think that a bye is necessarily beneficial. You see it happen all the time in college football, where these teams sit. They sit around for a couple weeks and wait to play. We've seen it happen in the NFL. Teams come out flat. I mean, look at the Arizona Cardinals last year. They had a bye, and they just got like shellacked by the Green Bay Packers. And it's just, you know, what was it? Palmer goes out, throws four picks. And so I think there could be
The Panthers, I think it was, right? Yeah, against the Panthers with the Cardinals.
Oh, maybe.
The Packers, yeah. And he was throwing to Kurt Coleman, their safety, the whole time. It was like, oh, let's just see how many interceptions Kurt Coleman could do. And it was unbelievable, that slaughterhouse affair. And hopefully Pittsburgh does that to the Chiefs at their house. Because if they do that, I'm feeling good about the Patriots the following week. Unless Bill and Brock show up, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I'm being a little bit silly, but Steelers are 1.5 underdogs, not totally out of the realm of plausibility there. Vegas likes to set the home team as favorites, especially in these push-type situations. Over-under is 44, which was still interesting up until those final moments last week, at least for people who had some money on the game. So I guess we got to think here in terms of what do you think as far as over-under? Do you think the Chiefs – well, first of all, you think the Steelers hold the Chiefs to under 20 points? I think that's something that's very plausible, even if they have four or five Cairo Santos field goals. What's
you want
that
a final score? You want a final score?
I hate final scores. I'm just thinking –
I want a final score. 20. I'm going to get a little close here. I'm going to say 27-14. I'm going to go two touchdowns here. I'm not going to go no Carlos Santos field goals. I think they throw two early touchdowns. They have a 14-7 lead going into halftime, and then after that they just don't do anything. They get a late touchdown maybe in the third or fourth quarter, and then Pittsburgh, their continuity starts to connect, and they move down the field with Le'Veon Bell, because I think Todd Haley's just going to start throwing it and be Todd Haley. Sometimes he's a little stubborn and doesn't go with doesn't look at the statistics, like you said, with the ranked the rush defense that the Chiefs have. I think you said 28th or something like that.
Yeah, they're near the bottom. Mm-hmm.
And they're not. And I think Todd Haley sometimes doesn't look at that. He's like, oh, well, they think we're going to run the football, so let's pass, you know. So I think he's going to do that maybe in the first or second quarter, maybe both quarters. And then in the second half, I think Pittsburgh's going to put it together and just get this game going, because I just really have a feeling that Pittsburgh's going to win the game. And that's just maybe my inner love for the team. But I can see it. I can see it happening, and I just don't know. I really hope that they come together, stop Tyreek Hill, like I said. I even wrote an article on that this week on my website, and stop tight end Travis Kelce, because those are the two playmakers. Alex Smith, he has the mobility to move out of the pocket, make a few plays, but he's not lightning fast like a Colin Kaepernick or anything. And I said his name because he kind of took his job with the 49ers. I'm not saying that because, you know, just a crazy, crazy example, because, you know, everybody hates Kaepernick. But, yeah, I think that Pittsburgh wins this game, and I think it might be a comeback attempt in the second half of the football game. So.
Yeah, you know, I hate putting any type of I hate predicting scores, but my
Our predictions are on point, Joe.
A lot of them have been.
Just one second. Let's just tell the viewers here, the listeners, okay, that together we predicted like four or five things that happened against the Miami Dolphins. And I said that I don't know if I said this, but I said something along the lines of Lippitt, he better watch out. And that guy got torched. I mean, he got hit by Eli Rogers late in the game. It got a flag, you know, but it just, oh, I think we had four or five calls right in that game. So hopefully a few of these go right, but I don't know. That's a wait and find out.
You know, and I'm trying to point out, because I was really bragging up to you, and I'm trying to look through our little private chat. Lippitt was definitely one of them. We were talking about the Chris Boswell missed the field goal in the open end. We were talking about the swirling winds and everything. There were a few other things that had happened. So, you know what? I'm not going to tie down to a score other than I think the Steelers get close to 30. I don't know that they put up 30. I like your 27. I could see Tomlin going for two and missing it. So that's four touchdowns there with a missed with not taking the extra point on one of them because they go for two and miss, trying to be aggressive. And I don't know, man. The Chiefs, I don't know that I could see them doing 20. If they get to 20, I could even see a score of like 27-22. Like I said, Santos is usually pretty solid. He's missed a few extra points this year. He's missed a few field goals. That type of thing happens. And just for nostalgia, the last two times, or the last time these two teams met, the only time they've met in the postseason at Arrowhead was back in 1994, January 8th. It was an overtime 27-24 win, very similar score to what we're predicting. That was Joe Montana playing back for the Chiefs on the back end of his career after leaving the 49ers, allowing Steve Young to take over there. So a little bit of nostalgia there, and I'm still trying to figure out, and you know what, somebody can actually ping me on this. It's I was like a teenager. I was young. You were probably not even thought of yet, Nate. You're a lot younger than me. So yeah. I have a vague memory. And of course, none of this stuff really exists on the internet to look up, because this is like it's almost pre-computer era in 94. You didn't even have Windows 95 yet as far as an operating system. So you're still dealing with floppy disks and the big floppy disks and all that jazz. I want to know, folks, is this a game? I think Darren Perry, safety for the Steelers, or it may have even been cornerback Dion Figures, and I'm drawing a blank, but it just came to mind. I'm really thinking one of these guys got ejected in that game, and it made a little bit of a difference in trying to defend Joe Montana. So it's just one of those things, man. I hope the Steelers feel this is within reach. Both of these teams, you know, they were pretty hot. It's hard to win so many games that you win in a row and keep this thing going. But I'm feeling pretty good about it, just like you are. And all I can say is I think the Steelers get close to 30. They're going to score just a little bit more than what the Chiefs do. I think they have enough on both sides of the ball, a lot actually more, to get them into this AFC Championship game. And as I said, hey, go Texans. I hope that ends up happening, guys. We're going to be hosting the AFC Championship at Heinz Field. That's what I want to do.
Let's host it. Let's host it, Joe. Yeah. Me and you, let's go. Let's say Rooney's. Let's go. Let's host this. Joe Kuzma, Nathaniel Bodner, we got this, because I just, oh, gosh, I hope that happens. That's one of the things that I hope that happens this weekend coming up here. But I have one more question. I actually have a question for you, Joe. Real simple. Uh-oh. What are your thoughts on Bud Dupree? Okay, this guy's lights out football here. I'm not talking about the hit lights out with Matt Moore here. I'm talking about lights out football, because you know that Matt Moore, he's all that. But
he got fined $18K for that, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, he did. What are your thoughts on Bud Dupree? I got one more question. And what are your thoughts on the noise level at Arrowhead Stadium? And is that going to be a factor in your opinion? Because I know that Ben talked about it and Haley and everybody. But what are your thoughts on the noise factor at Arrowhead and Bud Dupree?
Well, you know what? Noise factor at Arrowhead, provided the offensive line doesn't have any hiccups, we still have everyone out there as far as Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey. Ramon is responsible, of course, for that silent little snap count with the tap over to Pouncey. And, of course, we've seen what happens when Pouncey isn't out there as a center. When he hurt his finger, that was, was that the Ravens game, I think, that was in Baltimore. So there's a lot of just consistency there. There's rhythm, there's familiarity. I think that's the only thing that really derailed the Steelers here. We heard Ben talk about, like, one of his interceptions was someone ran the wrong route. We saw something where he was even off the page with Antonio Brown late in the game, and that's the one where he got hit, and I think that was part of that too. So as long as all systems are go, everyone's healthy, and there's no reason to believe the line shouldn't be. Those guys have been playing every snap for practically the entire year. I think on offense they will be A-OK. If they can happen to maybe put this up two scores, this will quiet that crowd out. It'll be cold. Trust me, when it was cold and the Steelers even had the lead, we were getting a little quiet even with the Dolphins, believe it or not. So fans get worn out too. As far as on the defensive side of the ball, there won't be any crowd noise because if anyone is, this was what we were talking about last week, it's like the home team should not be, those home fans should not be making any noise while their team has the ball. It's just going to screw them up. So I think as far as defensive communication, they're going to be A-OK there. Bud Dupree, man, let me tell you about that guy. I don't even know where to start, to be completely honest. I thought he would improve this pass rush. I didn't know that he would make it. He's made even James Harrison better during this stretch from December on when he came back and started playing full time. The guy's a beast. He could deflect passes. He could drop into coverage. He's fast. He closes in. I mean, geez, I thought it was Ryan Shazier that knocked Matt Moore's block off there for that hit, now that he's been fined for it. You know what? It's speed of play. It's the referees. I didn't have a problem necessarily with the call. I understand the officials being in their shoes, the angle, the speed, and just trying to cover your own butt. But when it comes to the rest of this whole thing, you know, Dupree is just a very solid player. If he would have played a full season, it would have been very exciting to see what would have happened. He'd probably be in double-digit sacks.
I was just about to say that. Vic Beasley numbers. Vic Beasley had 4 sacks, I believe, last year. I think he ended with like 15 and a half or something. I think, to be honest with you, Bud Dupree would have put up Vic Beasley type numbers of the Atlanta Falcons, and everybody would be like, oh my god, greatest pick in the last few years. And then everybody would be like, oh no, Ryan Shazier. And then the whole debate start happening. But I think that Bud Dupree is on his way to being a stud, and he has provided pressure and just continuity at that defensive line position. I mean, we're talking about a defensive line without Cameron Hayward. And how good everybody's doing. LT Walton. I mean, James Harrison playing at a high level. Everybody on that defensive line is playing at a high level. And I think that this is a defensive line and a total defense with a secondary and everything that is able to go into Foxborough if necessary. Go Texans. But if necessary, and they can beat Tom Brady. I think they can apply pressure, especially if Nate Solder on the left side, left tackle, is playing, because, my goodness, that guy couldn't even guard Jarvis Jones. Good luck guarding James Harrison, buddy.
Well, that's what we were talking about, I think, with like Eric Fisher and even Mitchell Schwartz, and who's going to be protecting the edge and everything here. Who's going to line up against James Harrison? I could see either one of these guys having a day. And yes, Bud Dupree, as I was saying, like Joey, bringing up Joey Porter's name, because if you remember during training camp, or maybe just before training camp, coming out of the mini camps and OTAs and whatnot, the offseason workouts, Joey Porter predicted that Dupree would have double-digit sacks, and then that all kind of got swept under the rug and forgotten because he was on injured reserve there for 9 weeks or so, or whatever the minimum is. I think it's at least week 8 until you could start practicing if you're placed on IR at the beginning of the season, or with designation to return, of course. Only one player could come back. So, yeah, you know what? I feel good about this. I feel great. I actually feel great about this. It would feel even better if Cam Hayward was still out there, but Javon Hargrave, LT Walton, they're still getting things done. This defense looks really good. They're young, they're quick, and they just keep improving from week to week. I think that Alex Smith is going to see some different looks than what he was used to, even from earlier this year. And even as far as like these bat little scat backs that get their passes, like West and Ware, and how the Eagles ate us up, it sure helps having like Sean Davis and Ryan Shazier out there. And then again, like I said, Bud Dupree, capable of coverage, closing down the angles. And even if they don't make the tackle, you see a lot of times where these guys get there in a position Shazier did it, cut off Matt Moore. Matt Moore had to come right back and got stuffed by either Walton or it was actually Stephon Tuitt who came back, and that was fourth down and forced that stop. So very optimistic about this, but it's time to go, buddy.
We could talk for years. I mean, we love our Pittsburgh Steelers. We're ready for a fight. I mean, we're not fighting out there. They are. But I know they're ready for a fight. I'm just ready to watch this and not get into a fight because I want Pittsburgh to win. So I'm ready. I think that they got it, and they're ready to rock and roll. I appreciate you having me on the show, Joe, as always.
Yeah, and as always, appreciate you taking the time to join me here. Nathaniel Bodner from Steel City Report. I'm Joe Kuzma from Steel City Underground. Until next time, folks, go Steelers, and be safe. Be safe out there. Be good out there. And we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.